Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
There have been some individuals who have played a key role in our church over the last 2 years that I want to start off our celebration time by thanking them, by celebrating their faithful service to our church. There's really kind of two groups involved here. One is our existing church board. So there are six members of our current church board, and I would like to ask you to stand and actually move to the front here real quick. There's another person who has also played a key part of this process, and that's Darletta Ingham. Darletta, would you come forward too? Several years ago, there was a meeting of where we would gather something like this, but with a much smaller group, where our then pastor said, our pastor Darrell said, we're really not going to be able to have a paid secretary anymore. And Darletta is one of these people that said, I would love to volunteer and do this as a volunteer. And so she's been doing that now for over 2 years, right? And with child, yeah, absolutely. And her and Clark's reality is about to change drastically for the good as they welcome a new child into their home. And so that kind of shifts her responsibilities in our office a little bit. We wanted to give you a little token of our appreciation for all of your sacrifice to come into the office and to deal with Steve all these years. And I'm telling you, I know. No, just kidding. But we appreciate that. And she's still going to stay on in the office and taking care of, you know, funds and writing checks and paying bills and things like that. We appreciate that so much. But we just want to celebrate that kind of faithful stewardship. And 2 years ago, you guys elected this board. This board was elected for such a time as this, to be quite honest with you. You probably didn't realize it when they were elected that we would go through a pastoral change and there would be all this kind of upheaval as a church. And when I thought about that song again, I thought, you know, that's been so true for this church. That though we've gone through a lot of transition over the last couple of years, God has been faithful and has never let us go. Isn't that cool? God has never let this church go. This dream that was planted 12 years ago in the hearts of a small group is still very alive in our heart today, and a lot of it is due to the faithful stewardship of our elected church board. The thing I love about this board that stands before you now is that they are people who humbly and passionately held this thing together, desired that God would work in and through them, and whenever the call went out for people to roll up their sleeves and to serve, you know who was first in line? These six individuals. And I love that about the board. They're not here to be getting pats on the back, and they certainly didn't serve so they could stand out in front of you all the time. They literally were willing to serve on the board because they were willing to serve you and to serve the Lord by serving you. And I appreciate their dedication, their very hard work. You can blame them if you don't like me. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully, that thought never enters your mind. But I appreciate their hard work, and we want to give them a little gift of our appreciation today. But would you appreciate them with your applause and your appreciation this morning as well? Now, kids, I hope you know that this church is a great and a safe place. Hopefully you have a lot of fun when you come here and you're learning great things about God's Word. But it doesn't happen by accident. There are groups of people who are leaders in our church who spend a lot of time praying for you as kids and praying for this ministry. And that was just a small representation of who some of those people are. There's a little bit of a broader group that I'd like to recognize right now, and that's anybody and everybody who's ever volunteered in our children's ministry department. If you're here sitting around these tables and you serve in any way, teacher or a coordinator of any kind, and you work in our children's department at all, would you please stand just right where you are right now and let us see you? Whether you're a teenager or an adult, or from the very youngest to the oldest, I'd love to see this group of people who serve in our children's department. Would you thank them for their hard work and dedication today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now let me say this. Next year, if we have a celebration service, I hope that twice as many of you stand when we do that same thing. There is nothing more important in what we do as a church than to train our children in the way they should go. Nothing more important. And there's no greater thing you can jump into in getting involved in our church than helping our children's department and our youth department. And I believe that God is going to rise up a group of leaders in that department. And this year is going to be a great year as we kind of reset some of the direction again and get that ministry to be number one and central in our minds through our funding, through our prayers, and through our sacrificial giving of our time. Because I believe there is nothing more important than that department in our church. Something else that is a big part of what we want to do today. We have about 15 or 20 minutes left to do this. It'll be fun to get through this. We want to hear from some of our ministry leaders about God's faithfulness throughout the year. So, I've asked several to come and be a part of this process. The first one I want to hear from is Bob Coe. Bob, where are you? Bob, come on up. Look at that. They don't stand and clap when I come forward, I'm telling you, man. You got your Bible and everything. Bob is our leader of our mercy team. Tammy and I, when we first started the conversation of coming to this church, we recognized quickly the heartbeat of this church was what we did with the mercy team. So Bob's going to share some stories. In your packet today, you kind of have a report of what the mercy team has done. Some of that detailed stuff that Bob likes to keep track of, he's going to share with us today some of the stories of what mercy team has taken place.
Good morning. Well, the reason the mercy team exists is to serve the kingdom. Steve smiled at me already. And show God's love in practical ways. I've never had the opportunity to serve with a group of people like there are on the mercy team. There's a lot of very caring and compassionate hearts in this group. We have over 20 members, so let me introduce them to you. If you wouldn't mind, team members, when I mention your name, if you just stand up and kind of wave at everybody, I'd really appreciate it. Got Joe and Sharon Ledger, Jim and Shannon Murchie, Chuck and Pat Stewart. They're standing up in Florida right now. So, Erica Hammond, Becky Mills, Marianne Cordy, Dennis and Jennifer Sopka, Tammy Powell, Debbie Wright, Brian Mazza, Gasper and Rosanna Pavia, Deanna Fry, Kelly Lintz, Dave and Jody Barkley, Miles O'Brien, Charlie Malloy, and Carol Coe. Did I miss anybody? If you have any questions ever, please feel free to ask any of the Mercy team members any question you have about the group. We do a lot of planning and coordinating throughout the year, but without the congregation involved together, nothing would be completed. So on behalf of the Mercy team, I would like to also thank you for your caring and compassionate hearts. Terry asked if I would share how a life might have been changed or impacted from our area. There are many stories I could share with people's lives that may have been impacted. One, for instance, is at Christmas time, a dinner box was being carried out to a young girl's car. She had two little babies with her under 4 years old. And it looked as though she'd been living in the car. We weren't sure. But when she got to the car, she broke down crying because she wasn't going to be able to have any Christmas gifts for her kids. But she and the kids did have a Christmas. Last fall, we were working at a mobile food pantry, and a young girl standing at the end of the line, she said, "You know, today's my daughter's birthday, and I don't have a birthday cake for her. I wouldn't want to be in that position." So there was two ladies that were standing at this great big huge cardboard box. If you've ever been to one of these things, they have these great big boxes where stuff's in it. And pretty soon there's muffins and cookies and donuts flying all over the place. And they came out of this box, this great big beautiful cake. And they hand it to her and say, "How about this one?" And so obviously the little girl did have a birthday cake. Every Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, there are a lot of hugs and tears when the dinner boxes are being placed in different vehicles. But I guarantee you that all the tears aren't coming from the recipients. I'm really not sure how many lives have been impacted. There I go again. I was going to make it through this time. Impacted or changed of the people that we've served. I just don't know. I'm not sure. We may never know. But when we really think about it, the lives that have been changed or impacted the most have been ours. our lives have been changed and impacted. So let me leave you with this verse of Scripture that a lot of us on the Mercy team like. It's Matthew 25, verses 34 and 4 through 40. Terry didn't think I was going to preach today. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you have done for me." And that's what it's all about. Thank you.
I want to invite Rich Christopher to come up just now. Rich is our treasurer, and nobody knows how hard a treasurer works except the treasurer's wife. And Marie will be the first to tell you how hard Rich works at all this. I went to the office today, and Rich had beaten me there already, and he was already working on some stuff. Rich, would you thank Rich for his hard work already? Just welcome him with an applause.
Thanks.
You have in your packet a detail of what we've done throughout the course of this year, and those are just a few numbers, but there's thousands behind each one of those. So, Rich, tell us some stories about this year.
Okay, thanks. The numbers in the packet are broken into essentially three categories, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through them. The first section at the top, the top one-third of the page, is our current financial status. That's where all of our money is. And that's, you can see at the bottom of that column, that first column, all our money is in a checking account or a savings account, and that is the total. Second section is where we spent our money last year. And the final section is what I'll talk about a little bit, and that is kind of a high-level history of what happened last year. We went into the year with a budget of $327,000, expecting that we might have to reduce that budget because the forecasted income was below that. But we had a reserve of $64,000 at the time, which would buy us time to adjust the budget if we had to mid-year. I kind of explained that in a summit meeting that we had last March, and one of our members, Tammy Powell, who works for Dort Federal Credit Union, was there and heard and followed up with her employer, and she called a few days later and said that Dort Federal would be interested in refinancing our mortgage. And I kind of skipped. A question came up during the summit meeting as to whether or not we had attempted to reduce expenses by refinancing the mortgage. And I explained that we had unsuccessfully. We were either turned down by a couple banks or one bank that approved us at a higher interest rate than we were already paying. So anyway, as a result of Tammy's presence, listening, and following up, we were able to refinance the mortgage through Dort Federal, and that saved us $15,000 annually in interest expenses for our budget. Also, that savings, as well as your continued generosity and giving, enabled us to actually overspend our budget by about $20,000 last year, and part of that was helping Terry and Tammy in their transition, getting a mortgage on a second house when they were already under a mortgage back in Byron Center. So it enabled us to do that, and it enabled us to finish the year expecting, when we went into the year, we were expecting to use up some of our reserve. We actually ended the year with over $11,000 more cash than what we started with. So it was a good year through your generosity and God's providence. There's a lot to celebrate, a lot to be thankful for, and that basically is where we ended up now. If you have any questions on the details or anything like that, just see me sometime, and I'd be glad to answer anything I can. Thanks.
It is a little dizzying to look at a church checkbook and to see all the things that go on in there. Let me just be honest with you. We are incredibly blessed people. In an economy that we're in, our church has continued to move forward, but we've got a lot of ground to take yet. There's a lot of things we want to do and a lot of dreams we want to see accomplished, and God's going to do that through our faithfulness. And so we don't talk about money a lot, but I tell you what we've been doing since we had a little chat about it a while ago in our church. We've been testing God, haven't we? We've been trying to be faithful with our stewardship in a lot of different ways. And I hear stories every week of how God is blessing and how God is challenging as well as we continue to do everything we can to be faithful with what God has given us. So thank you again for your faithfulness to Him. He will return. I know He will. He will return that faithfulness back to you. Matt and Pam work a lot of hours in our Upward Basketball program. It just completed yesterday. You got a lot of details in your packet about this program too, because these people love details. Every time they get a phone call, they check them off. They know how many times they've been called. They're detailed people. But we could not run this program without their faithfulness, and we appreciate it so much. I'll turn it over.
I wasn't real crazy about the idea coming up here, but Terry, through his loving words, told me to put my big boy pants on. So I think I've got them on today. But rather than me stay up here and tell you how great I think Upward is or how it's blessed our lives through serving through Upward, I'd put together a video and kind of let other people tell it in their words. But before I put the video on, if you have served with Upward in any way, could you please stand? And that's coaches and referees and hospitality, concessions, door openers, floor cleaners, chair setter-uppers. So here's the video.
Every Saturday, this gym is filled with 12 to 1,500 different people coming in, grandmas and grandpas and siblings and families that represent over the 320 athletes that we have and cheerleaders, part of this program. It is a heartbeat ministry for who we are. The opportunity to reach out to our community has never been stronger than through Mercy Team and meeting needs and through sport ministry like Upward Basketball. Out of that group of children, 95 of those kids on their application marked nothing when asked if they attend church anywhere. If we don't have a mission field that's just right in front of us, that's it. I mean, they've come into our church for 8 weeks or 10 weeks for practices and games. And I believe God is going to allow this ministry just to flourish as we continue to be faithful through it. So I, again, thank you. As your pastor, thank everyone who works so hard to come in here on Friday nights and set up. You come in and you have practices with your teams. You come in on Saturday and you spend all day here. I appreciate it. And hopefully that will translate into lives being changed because there's a church who loves these kids and a church who loves on these families. And I believe God will do amazing things through Upward as we continue to move forward with that ministry. It is an awesome thing that we come here and have great worship every day, every Sunday, to worship the Lord. But worship happens not only on Sunday morning, it happens throughout the week as well. I want to invite Wendy Freeman to come up at this time. She has been sitting there nervous all morning for this moment, but this is why we've come here today together. Spiritual Life is a team that's forming in our church to look at, again, the ways we can grow as believers, that we should have a heartbeat and a desire to grow our faith. And some cool things have happened in Wendy's life that we asked. Now, basically, our current women's Bible study that meets doing the Beth Moore study, if there would be anybody who would be willing to give a testimony, and this certainly is where this comes from, and you look like you're about ready to kill me right now, so just line up, it's all good. Here's your microphone. You'll be just fine, sweetie. We went through some questions already. What have you been involved with? Just tell everybody, I kind of let the cat out of the bag already, but what have you been involved with that's kind of helped you kind of come to this point?
Well, I told Terry this morning nothing, so
just so she
so
could,
I could go sit
down
back down. But I've been part of the annual Beth Moore study on Wednesday nights for the last, I don't know, 10,
minutes, yeah.
10, 8, 9, I don't know, several weeks. So and really have enjoyed it.
So one thing I just want to acknowledge as part of this process is engaging the Lord outside of Sunday mornings is an important part of the process of walking with Him in this way. There was, I think, a story or a particular experience in that study that kind of spoke to you above and beyond everything else at this point. Why don't you share that with us?
Well, I didn't originally even want to sign up because there was not going to be child care, and my husband is a coach, and so I wasn't going to sign up. But then something just kept telling me I needed to sign up, and I was one of the last people to spaces available to sign up. And God has made it work, but probably the second week I was there, I'm so nervous. I'm sorry. I'm shaking.
Great. You're doing great.
About the second week I was there, Beth was talking about the fiery furnace, and that God puts us in three situations for the fire. Either we can be delivered from the fire, and she used it as a woman finding a lump, and she said that we could be delivered from the fire, we could be delivered through the fire, or ultimately we are delivered into His hands. Well, it so happened that the next day I was going to a doctor because I had found a lump, and I was going to see a surgeon, and I really was okay with going to the surgeon at that point. But after I saw the surgeon, my news wasn't as good as I had initially anticipated. And as I left the office, and luckily had my husband there with me, telling him the news, I was very scared, thinking I have a man who loves me and two children who are very young, and I don't want them to be without me. But the words of Beth spoke so deep to me, and I got home and I prayed and prayed, and I thought, you know what? I'm okay with whatever happens. If this lump is cancer and I have to go through chemo and lose my hair and whatever, I'll be okay because God is in that fire with me. And I truly was okay. And luckily, though, my news was great. There's nothing wrong, no infection, no cancer, nothing. I've been delivered from the fire, and that is awesome.
Got tissues with you? Pull those out.
I'm sorry.
No. Are there any reason to apologize right now?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. Your understanding of grace and forgiveness and God using you has kind of been transformed through this process too. Can you tell us about that vantage point that you've kind of learned and how that's helped you?
Wait a minute. Are you going to disinfect
this? Yeah, I'll disinfect the mic. It's all good.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Okay, well, there was a week where she had asked if we consider ourselves a holy vessel.
Yeah.
I'm not a holy vessel. I don't know my Bible very well. And I've been a Christian my entire life, and that's very embarrassing to admit. But even after I studied that week, I thought, I'm not a holy vessel. She talked about 2 Timothy saying that we are, and God says we are, but I'm not. I have lots of imperfections, and they're always there. And I was taught from a very young age that God will judge everything I've done throughout my life. And so how can I be a holy vessel if I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be judged for all the bad decisions I've made? Well, then this past week, we got talking, and the stuff is really hard this right now, but I'm not giving up. And I learned that I'm not standing in judgment, that because I believe His blood has cleaned me, and I don't have to worry, that when I repent, it's gone. And I have always liked the song Casting Crowns, and I always felt like I was one mistake away, that God was going to turn away from me. But I truly now know what He means when He says the east is whatever it is, as far as the west is to the east. I get it. And that night, I couldn't sit still. I wanted to hop out of Julie's house that night because I finally felt relieved. So that's it.
Awesome. Would you thank Wendy for being brave enough to be up here and share what God is doing? I want to pray for you real quick. We all have felt or feel like Wendy feels, right? Haven't we all? We all feel unworthy. We all feel like God is just ready to squash us. I saw a police officer this morning, started sweating, and I thought, how many of us look at God like a police officer? Like they're just looking to get us caught in something, right? God is not like that. And it's hard. It's hard to reprogram our mind to embrace grace every day. But she's got it. She's captured it. And I just pray that we all can capture that. So let's pray for that. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the tenderness of Wendy's testimony and how powerful it is that what you're doing in her life can be what you want to do in our lives too. Take her words, take her trembling and her boldness to stand up here today and translate that into power for us now. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. It is late. We have a result, but before I go to there, I want to just kind of put a capstone on this, guys. Here's my question. As we celebrate what God has done in our church this year and through us this year, my question is this. What will we be celebrating next year at this time? What will this next year look like? What will it be like when we gather again and talk about what God has done in and through us this time next year? Here's maybe the more important question. Who will be celebrating with us next year that isn't celebrating with us today? Because really, that's kind of what we're here for. To God to change us and to challenge us, to renew us and refresh us. But there's a people out there. There's friends out there. There's co-workers out there that need this too. So the question I have for you is, who will be celebrating at your table next year? How will you be involved in telling our story as a church at this very point next year? Who will find salvation through our ministries this year? Who will be baptized? How many will be fed and grow their faith? How will your spiritual journey become deeper and sweeter by what we do here in this place? I put a verse of Scripture in the letter that I sent out and as well as in your handout. It's found in an Old Testament book of Zechariah, where the prophecy comes to the Lord's prophet with these words, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We can do a lot of things, friends. We can be as busy as the next church at the corner, or we can be about aligning ourselves with God's Spirit. That is a tough thing to do. Wendy's kind of discovered the secret to that. It's embracing the work of God in your life to flood in your life and to cleanse you and to fill you and empower you to do His work. The question is, will we be a church this time next year who has worked really hard, put a lot of time and energy into it, sweat a lot of beads of sweat, and have nothing to show for it? Or will we be people who surrender ourselves to God's Spirit and allow Him to work in and through us and change our neighborhoods and change our community? See, I don't want to have the same group here next year. You're cute and all. You're good looking. But God did not plant us here 10 years ago to be the same church year after year. He's planted us here to accomplish harvesting His fields. And I believe when we align ourselves with God's Spirit, not through our own strength, not through our own ideas, but through His, God will accomplish what He wants to through us. And next year's Celebration Sunday will be even a bigger celebration of all that God has done and all that God is continuing to do. That is what I believe can happen when we align ourselves with His Spirit. So that's what I want to see happen this year. That's the story I hope that we can tell next year when we stand at this same time. All right, guys, do you have a result for us today? We want to kind of conclude our service with an understanding of what has taken place through the votes of your votes to this point. I feel like it's the Academy Awards or something. And we do have a solid election. I told the guys, I don't know what's going to happen if we have any ties. I haven't worked through that at all. I wasn't sure what would happen. Here are your elected board members for this year. And in light of this date, should we sing or should we dismiss after we do what we're going to do? What do you think, Pastor Steve? You ready? We sing. All right. So musicians, why don't you come forward and get ready. We're going to sing one more song before we go. But this is what I want to do as we're doing this. I would like our board that's elected to come forward as well and kneel at this altar right over here, actually. And we're going to pray over them and then we're going to sing. Are you ready? Our three stewards who will be looking over the ministries of our church and taking care of the ministry direction of our church as elected by you today. Bob Coe, Marianne Cordy, and Trudy Tabor. Congratulations. Very, very close votes, by the way. Our three trustees who are now empowered to give guidance to our finances and to our business side of the church, our facilities as well. Matt Johnson, Sam Salem, and Mike Wallace, again, in very close voting. Very close. For those elected board members, would you please come to stand right up here in front of us just now? Move quickly, please, if you don't mind. Bob and Marianne and Trudy. I think Trudy's gone here. She's not here today. Matt is also in a warmer climate, I believe. Sam and Mike. So we have four of the six who are here today. You guys have been charged by your church to give great guidance and leadership to our year and to help us move forward, not by our might and not by our power, but by His Spirit. Would you pray over them just now, Father God? I pray that you would just be with our new board, with our pastoral team, and with our entire church. And help us, God, to live a life full of joy that we're going to sing about, a life full of great harmony with each other. And help us, Lord God, to accomplish all that you have for us in the coming days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.